Let's pray before we begin. Father, we know that you are a faithful God. You are so good to us, Lord, and every day you bless us, God, and you shower us with blessings, Lord. Father, I pray that we respond with gratitude, Father. We respond with thanksgiving, Father, and we just hold on, God, that we are faithful to you, God. We are faithful to your word, and we just continue to have faith. Help us cling on. Help us have faith in your word. Help us have faith in you, Lord. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, let's open to, that's loud. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 to 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 to 18. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. Okay. So, this passage, it's a lot of stuff going on, and I spent a lot of time last night trying to prepare something, and I deleted everything at about 11:30 because nothing made sense. So enjoy. Off the cuff, kind of. No, kidding. I prepared a little bit on the MTR on my way over. So there's actually, yeah, like I said, there's so many things we can talk about here. We can talk about, you know, how as a Christian we should persevere through our sufferings. Even though you're afflicted in every way, but you're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we don't despair. And because it's the power of God that fills us and sustains us. Or how, you know, even though we see our physical flesh decaying, we are being renewed day by day, and how our inner spiritual reality begins to take over our physical reality, or how our life flows from the spiritual, so we should, you know, focus on the spiritual and spiritual discipline, and it's not just this idea of separating our body and our spirit, but how it all comes together. And anyways, there's so much in this text, but as I was praying and reflecting on it, I really just came, or God was speaking to me about this idea of faith and how we really need to be faithful. Three times Paul mentions from verses 10 to 12, he's saying the same thing. Death works in us, but life in you. Because we are dying, we are suffering, there is life. And the reason he can say that is because of this faith, because I cling on to this idea, I cling on to this hope that no matter what happens, God will somehow resurrect me. God will somehow bring back life. In verse 13, he goes, but having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. This he's actually referencing Psalm 116. So I took a look and read that, and it confused the heck out of me, because what he's actually referencing seems like he's pulling out of context. But the more and more I read Psalm 116, it really speaks to this idea of clinging on to the faithfulness of God, of being faithful to his faithfulness, if that makes sense. And as I read verse 13 and 14, I'm reminded of Hebrews when the writer is talking about Abraham and how he clings on to faith. And as he sacrifices Isaac, or when he's about to sacrifice Isaac, his mind says that, well, I'm going to kill my son, but I have faith in God that he will bring back life to my son, because this is the promise. This is the word of God to me. He is faithful. And I feel like, at least for me, when I read this, God is saying, Andrew, have faith in the words that I have spoken to you. Have faith in the prayers, the prophetic words that you've received, you know, as you meditate on it and as you, you know, discern through the words or pray through it. Have faith. So I think I've been going through a season where a lot of times because no one would ever say this, where you doubt the word of God. I mean, actually, people do say that. Where you would never seriously doubt the word of God, but you don't really, at least for me, there are times where I don't really take to heart the word of God, like the Bible. Like, yeah, God says this, it might work for other people, but it really doesn't work for me because I don't see it happening in my life. I don't see the manifestation of it working in my life. And Paul could very easily have said the same thing. We are afflicted in every way. We are perplexed, we are persecuted, and we are struck down. But for him, he clings on to that faith. And as he clings on, you see throughout the book of Acts that God is faithful. That when he steps into those moments where he doesn't know, but yet he steps into circumstances where he doesn't know if God is going to come through, but he clings on to the faith, and God does come through. Where he's struck down, he's stoned, yet like, it says in the narrative that people thought that he was dead. It's not like Paul pretended to die, or like he injected some serum into him to slow down his heart rate, right, that we see in the movies. But people thought he was dead, and yet God raised him. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. I can very easily take that to mean like future reality. God will resurrect us. And this Paul does in some way mean this, as he talks about in chapter 5, but I also believe that he's also talking about the current reality, that God will raise him, God will sustain us, God will fill us. Because at the end of the day, it's not so much, it's important that we have faith, right? It's very important that we have faith. But what's more important is that God is faithful, that we have faith in God's faithfulness. And so, that's basically my point today. I know it's short, but we're just going to go through a few scripture just to remind us, just to renew our minds about God's faithfulness. Paul instructs Timothy not to neglect the public reading of the word, so this is what we're going to do today. So let's turn to 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 13. Just an interesting tidbit. Verses 11 to 13 is most likely a psalm or a song that they sung during the services back in the day. But verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This is who he is. No matter what we do as humans, no matter what we do as sinful people, God is still faithful to his word. God is still faithful to his character. And he demonstrates this over and over again in the Old Testament. God is still faithful to his word. He promises the Israelites, I will be there for you. I have brought you out of Egypt. I have called you my own. I have chosen you. And I will continue to choose you no matter what you do. Because it's not so much of what you do, but it's more so of who I am. My character is consistent, and I love you. You turn to Malachi, chapter 3, verse 6. There's going to be a lot of jumping around. Malachi is right before Matthew, in case you didn't know. Pastor Nate. Kidding, joking. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. I do not change. Therefore you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. This is in contrast to, he's speaking in contrast to the nations of Moab. And in chapter, this is Malachi chapter 1, verse 3 to 5, he says that, I will consume the nation of Edom. But as opposed to the nation of Israel, because God has made these promises and he is faithful, despite their sinfulness, despite the fact that they have turned and that they have been exiled and that they've come back to the land and they're still really not fully following the word of the Lord, God says to them, I am still faithful and you will not be wiped out from the face of the earth because you are my nation. You carry my name. You carry my name to the nations. People will know who I am because of you. Let's turn to Jeremiah 31. Read from verses 1 to... Six. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness, Israel, when it went to find its rest. The Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. Again, I will build you, and you will be rebuilt, O virgin of Israel. Again, you will take up your tambourines and go forth to the dances of the merrymakers. Again, you will plant vineyards on the hills of Samaria. The planters will plant and will enjoy them. For there will be a day when watchmen on the hills of Ephraim call out, Arise, and let us go up to Zion, the Lord our God. Jeremiah is always a very interesting book because there's so much anger and despair on the part of Jeremiah. And before chapter 31, God is just spending a lot of time judging Israel, or Jeremiah is bringing a message of judgment. And yet, despite this, chapter 30 talks about this deliverance from captivity. And in 31, we see that God is saying to the nation of Israel, no matter what you do, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And as I think about this, I think about how God is eternal. You know, we always tend to think this idea of eternal as something in the future. And I think that's true, but that's an incomplete view of the everlasting nature of God's love for us. It's not just something in the future. When he says everlasting, and there's many examples in the Bible. You can read Ephesians about how God has loved us even from the beginning, how God has, even before we were formed, he knew us and he loved us. So this idea of everlasting, this idea of eternal is not in the future, but it's from eternity past and eternity future. It doesn't change. It's not like God one day decided, like, okay, hey, I'm now going to love such and such. I've made the decision. I mean, for us as humans, it's very difficult to understand, but he's always made that decision. That's who he is. He doesn't change in that way. He doesn't one day go, oh, this is what I'm going to do now. It's always been a part of his plan. And you see it here when he says to the Israelites in verse 3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. He continues to be faithful no matter what we do. And the last passage I have for us today is Numbers 23. Verse 19. Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Again, it reflects what we read in 2 Timothy. And he is not man that he should lie. In Hebrews it says he does not lie. He does not succumb to our wishy-washiness or inability to commit or there's better options that come up. So we say, okay, I'm going to forget this, forgo this option and go with whatever fits me more. He will do what he says he will because he is faithful. This in Numbers, the context of it is that Balaam has been commissioned by Balak to prophesy against the Israelites. And no matter what Balaam does, he can only speak good over the Israelites. He actually goes to God and like, can I prophesy? Can I curse them? And God says, no, because my character is to bless them. So you are to speak blessing. It's actually really funny now how we say that God does not change his mind and all this and that. From Numbers 22 to, or the entirety of Numbers 22, part of what comes through the narrative, if you read it carefully, you might say, well, Numbers 23:19 is actually a contradiction. Because in Numbers 22, God changes his mind three times. First, Balaam goes to God and says, I want to curse these people. And so God tells him in Numbers 22, verse 12, do not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. So this is the word of God. Okay. Verse 20, Balaam then goes again to God and says, can I curse them? And in verse 20, God goes to Balaam. God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men have come to call you, rise up and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you, you shall do. So in verse 12, he says, don't go with Balak and his men. And verse 20 goes, okay, go with them. So we're like, okay, well, God does change his mind. See, aha, I got you. The Bible is false. I'm like, well, yes, maybe. Let's continue reading. Verse 22. Right, so verse 20, God tells Balaam, go. I seemingly bless you to go to curse, or I seemingly bless you to go with these people, but you should only speak the words that I tell you. Verse 22, two verses later, but God was angry because he was going. And so now you're in this place where what is God trying to do? He's telling Balaam to go, yet now he's angry. And then in verse 35, but the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men. Now again, God changes his mind. You're like, is God schizophrenic? Or I've been told we shouldn't use the word schizophrenic. Is God a mind in schism? He can't make up his mind. But the point of Numbers 22 and is summed up in Numbers 23:19 is that it's not very fun to serve a God that constantly changes his mind because you don't know what you're getting. It's not very fun to follow a God that you don't know what. One day he's happy with you, one day he's angry, and you're like, how am I supposed to act? I mean, we as humans are fickle enough, right? We're driven by our emotions all the time. What if God is driven by his emotions in that way? It's very difficult for us. And so God having mercy, part of his grace is that he is faithful. He is faithful. And the narrative in Numbers 22, it shows that it's just an example. Like, for me, when I'm with my son, I'm trying to teach him certain things, right? Like if I say, you know, you can't leave the table until you finish eating, or you can't go play. I'm not seriously going to, because he, most of the time, he actually won't finish his food. So if I were to stick to that, that would be actually very cruel and mean to him. But I want to teach him, like, hey, you need to finish your food. You need to actually just spend time and focus to eat your food and not just to play or be distracted all the time. I'm trying to teach him something. It's not that I'm using this as a tool. And so God is trying to teach Balaam through him changing his mind that it's not very fun to serve someone that constantly changes your mind, that to serve someone that is not faithful. So it's not that God contradicts himself, but he's using it as a tool. Because ultimately, God is faithful to his word. Because God wants to bless the Israelites. And no matter in this episode of Balaam, no matter what Balaam tries to do, Balaam can only bless the Israelites. Like that's that baseline. That's the intention of God to bless the Israelites. So as we go through all these, as we've gone through all these passages, I guess one final concluding thought that I have for us is no matter how unfaithful we are, or the depth of our unfaithfulness, the depth of our fickleness, our inability to follow God, holds no match for the grandeur of God's faithfulness. Like his faithfulness outweighs all of our combined unfaithfulness by a mile, by infinity, for eternity. And that, you know, I pray for you guys today that you really take that to heart and meditate on it, that no matter what you do, no matter how far you've fallen, no matter, you know, how unfaithful you are in reading the Bible, or, you know, you don't trust God and his word, it doesn't matter. Or, I mean, not that there are no consequences in, but my point is that God loves you so much. God loves us, and he is faithful. And that what he says in his word, he will carry out. And he will rescue us, even in times where we don't ask him. I've personally experienced this myself. I mean, one of the reasons that I'm in Hong Kong and I'm up here speaking to you guys is because God rescued me, even when I was actively pushing him away. When I was actively calling him out and cursing him out and saying, like, you're weak. You can't do anything. And yet God said, okay, well, you are part of my plans, and I will be faithful to my plans. I will be faithful to my purposes, and I will bring you with me, even though you're kicking and screaming, Andrew, but I will drag you along for the ride, and eventually you'll see. I'm like, oh yeah, I do see. So as we worship today, as we reflect, let's let Holy Spirit speak to us. The prayer that we were praying, that stronghold prayer, really, really spoke to me, and how we, you know, we really just hold on to faith, right? We declare that the word of God is true, and it's always true, and we embrace it, and we believe it by faith that what is written, the word of God, will come to pass in spite of whatever we do, in spite of my circumstances, our sinfulness, our unfaithfulness. God is still faithful.
Test, test, test. Andrew has given us a good word this morning. And I'm just going to encourage you to just stand to your feet, kneel, move around, stretch a little bit as we sing a song of worship before we pray. Just let the Lord inspire you. Let him fill your heart and your soul. And as we go into it, I'm just reminded of the scripture that says, dwell in the land. This comes from Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. This word is like feeding on his faithfulness. So I just encourage you to meditate on what the word has been spoken this morning, and just feed on that faithfulness, the faithfulness of the Lord. And you know what? If you can't feel it yourself, just recall some scripture. Can you think of any time where God has been faithful to someone else? God was faithful to Abraham, provided a ram. God was faithful to the people of Israel coming out of Egypt. God was faithful to Naomi in providing an heir. The Lord just brings to mind anytime he's been faithful to you in your life. I just want you to open your mouth right now and just begin thanking him. And if you can't think of anything in your own life, that's okay. Be thankful for the provision of Jesus. That is a great testimony of God's faithfulness in your life. Thankful. God is a faithful God. He's demonstrated His faithfulness with the rising of the sun and the setting of the same. Open your mouth and thank the Lord for His faithfulness. Thankful for your friendships, thankful for your health, for His faithfulness to you, for the provision of life that He's given to you. Yeah, we're so thankful this morning, God. Let's worship Him together. Turn your heart to the Father. This is my desire.
This is my to honor You, Lord, with all my heart, I worship You.
All I have within me. I give You my heart.
Lord, I give You my heart. I give You my soul. I live for You alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. I live for You alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have Your way in me.
Just devote your heart to the Lord this morning. Turn your heart to Him. Bind up any distracting thoughts in the name of Jesus and just enjoy the presence of the Father, the Word that's soaking in your soul right now. Turn to Him. Just take a minute of your day, a few minutes of your morning, to turn your heart to Him. Devote your life to Him. Commit your way to Him this morning. This is my desire.
This is my desire. To honor You, Lord, with all my heart, I worship You.
All that I have,
and all I have within me, I give You praise, and all that I adore is in You.
Give it up to Him.
Lord, I give You my heart. I give You my soul. I live for You alone. say, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have your way in me.
Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you and we praise you. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, that you do not change, God. We thank you that you're not reliant on us to act, God, that you act despite us, God, that your purposes continue, Father, that you are faithful to your word, God. Lord, we come before you, Lord, and we repent for all the times that we have been unfaithful, God. Whether we have deliberately disobeyed, God, or even in times where just in our minds we just don't trust, God. We're not sure of your word and we doubt your goodness, Father. We repent, God, and we turn to you, Father. Help us, Father. Live like Paul did, even in the face of death, in the face of real suffering and persecution, he still hung on to that faith that you will resurrect, that power to bring back to life. Help us cling on to that faith, God, to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are there and that you will come and you will deliver us, Father. We thank you, Lord. Let's turn to our communion prayer focus. Let's pray for those in our community who have cancer and are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy and other surgeries. Let's also pray for those who, friends and family of members who are sick, but also have yet to receive the word of Christ in their hearts. Let's pray for God's mercy over them. Let's pray for their eyes to be opened to the Lord. And just pray for our friends and family that are praying for their family members. Let's lift up those in our community that are suffering from other infirmities that are non-cancer related. Let's pray for God's healing hand. Let's pray for peace. Let's pray that they continue to be faithful in praying for God's healing over them. Let's lift up those who are looking for jobs. Let's pray for wisdom and discernment as they consider and evaluate opportunities and open doors that come up for them. Turning to our mission focus, let's pray for our SP branches in Hong Kong and around the world, for SP Singapore, SP Indonesia, SP Filipino, SP New York. Let's really lift up the leaders of these communities, P. Sam Kim, P. Salamat, Ernie, Ruth and Jess. Let's really pray for God's anointing over them as they lead our various congregations. Let's lift up our education department, SP Kids, SP Youth, and the college students. Pray for the well, the river, and Ivy. Let's especially pray for intercessory prayer, even though they spend a lot of time praying for our church. Let's pray for them, because people, they need prayer as well. Let's lift them up. Let's ask God to bless them and give them words and affirm. And just as they pray for the church, they really speak into their lives. Let's pray for the outreaches tonight, SP Lights and Homie Outreach. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to move through our members as they go out to minister. Lastly, let's pray for the city of Hong Kong. Let's pray for peace and reconciliation. Us as Christians, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. So let's pray for this in the city. I heard that there's going to be another protest on the 7th. That's this Sunday. So let's just pray for, just for God's peace to flood the city. Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. In you, there is no turning, God. In you, there is no uncertainty. In you, there is only truth, God. There is no variation and shifting shadow. And we thank you, God. We thank you that we can come to you, Lord, and know that we can trust you, Lord. Father, in times where it may be difficult to see what it is you are doing, God, may you give us eyes to see, Father. May you surround us with community that will help pray with us, that will walk with us through our difficult circumstances, Lord. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, God. We thank you for your faithfulness that continues despite our unfaithfulness, Lord. We thank you for the mercy that you've given to us, Lord. Father, give us that strength, God. Give us that mindset, that perspective to hang on to faith, to persevere, Lord, to know that your word is true. We thank you. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.